So welcome here to Christie Walk, where I live on unceded Kaurna land. And Christie Walk is, as you've seen, a very beautiful and very ethical place. And you're here to talk about events that are perhaps not so ethical. So would you all like to introduce yourself and say why you're here?
I'm Georgia Heath, and I'm here because I'm helping to run an event called Ethical Events. It's being held in the lead up to the Live Golf Tournament in South Australia, and I am working with some amazing other women.
I'm Jane Edwards, and I'm also part of Ethical Events, and I'm involved because I want to help us create a framework that can demonstrate to our government that we can have ethical events that don't rely on money from states like the Saudi government.
Hi, I'm Melanie Carter, and I'm the third of the trio organising Ethical Events. And I like being a member of the Festival State. South Australia is known as the Festival State, but I would like to be the Ethical Festival State. And so we're holding this forum a few days before the Live Golf Tournament.
When does the golf tournament start?
On the 21st of April.
21st of
April. This year, 2023.
And it's just a golf tournament. What is it that makes this unethical?
Well, financially it's underpinned by the Saudi government,
right.
As I've forgotten the name of the actual investment account, but essentially they've created the Live Golf Tour as a way of creating events that in fact deflect attention away from problematic issues with human rights in Saudi Arabia, and our government has decided it would like to jump on board.
And we see the concept of sports washing is coming in here because the media will all flock to the Grange Golf Club and report on this extraordinary golf tournament with all these top male players. And it will look glorious, it'll be groomed beautifully, and the course will look wonderful. And somehow it will get missed that this has all been funded by the Saudi government. Which, as Jane's mentioned, has had a shocking record.
So, did South Australia put in a huge bid to get this here?
One of the problems is that I don't know that we know a lot of the details about how this came here.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to have been a decision made by the Premier, you know, according to some of the news reports on this, without consultation of democratic processes here. So we don't actually have the full information, so it's hard to give an answer on that.
Mm. But we do know that Victorian Premier Dan Andrews turned it down, and we do know that at least one extraordinarily prestigious golf club in Sydney also turned it down. So our Premier likes to tout that he's been extraordinarily entrepreneurial in getting this here, and actually it's kind of everybody else's rejects, really.
And we've also tried to get some more information about the funding of it, whether any taxpayers' money is also being added in as well. But unfortunately, the Budget and Finance Committee that was meeting later this month has now been deferred until May, so that'll be after the tournament, so we can't even find out anything before the tournament, which is pretty disappointing. But we've just found that out the other day.
Do you know why the other states turned it down?
Victoria turned it down because Daniel Andrews was keen to support the PGA, which is in the Professional Golf Association, which is in conflict with LIV. And I don't know why Royal Sydney turned it down. I just know that they did.
But perhaps for ethical reasons?
Quite possibly. I really don't know. I couldn't say.
And what's LIV?
Ah, well, here's a fast fact for you all. So LIV is Roman numerals for 54, and so L is 50, and then the IV is 4. And there's 54 54 holes in this tournament, and that is different to the PGA Tour, which for a major event would have 72 holes. So this is a faster format, and I think they play in teams. But LIV is 54 in Roman numerals, and also the organisation that's the front person for this tournament is called Foundation 54, so they're tying that in.
So it's a bit like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, isn't it? The answer is 54.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh dear. Yeah.
I think we'll want to use that.
So I'm really interested in ethics and how you determine something that's ethical. What are the major factors of determining if an event meets ethical standards?
Well, I think one of the first things you've got to look at is whether people's basic human rights are being breached by having an event, or whether it's funded on the back of a breach of human rights. And to me, this is an example of a breach of a regime that raises money and does all sorts of, breaches human rights. And I think that's one of the first determinants, but it's not solely that. I mean, I look back on the example of circuses and think, well, originally circuses exploited humans and animals, and now there's been a public pressure on changing the way those events are held. And I think we can look at other issues about ethics. Certainly for me, you've got to look at where's the money coming from, and the money's coming from a very unethical regime. So,
And the fact that this is deliberately done to try it, sports washing, to wash away any sign of what's going on and to deflect our attention. And it's been really heartening to see people coming out against the Saudi Arabian, the possibility that Saudi Arabia will sponsor the FIFA tour for women. And we kind of think, well, if other people can get it, what is it our government doesn't see? That this is just a regime that we should not be... I accept that parts of the community do business with them, but we're aiding and abetting them in trying to get us to avert our gaze.
Everything they stand for.
Yeah.
I think there's something too in that there's the elements around who's financially supporting this event and why, but there's also Carrie Webb wrote an article recently that I think raised some really important points, and she was saying that the LIV Golf Tour is really in many ways going against the work that has been done by the golf profession and by some of those other organisations in recent years to stop golf being such an elitist sport. And golf has a terrible track record when it looks at, say, the treatment of women and the treatment of people of colour. And I think that understanding of what LIV is doing in regard to all of those gains that have been made by golf also needs to be in the mix.
And I think also when you look at the role of the media, you know, that shocking murder that occurred with a Saudi journalist, which, you know, justice, that man's death is, you know, I'm really concerned that justice will never, ever be served there.
Mm.
But the media have a huge role here because, you know, there's no possibility that this golf tour would be going on if there was a media blackout and no information or no media was being spread all over the world. If the media weren't there to show that how amazing the Saudi people, the government was to fund this amazing tournament and, you know, have this amazing presentation, they wouldn't put the money in if the media weren't spreading this story about how they're this omnipotent regime that's funding this amazing golf tournament. But I think also I would like to backtrack a little bit and say that it's not just about Saudi Arabia, it's about sports washing generally and unethical events generally, and that's really probably where the idea came up for us to have this forum rather than just focusing on the golf tournament. Now, of course, timing-wise, we're having the forum a few days before. So, yes, there will be a focus on that, but we also want to focus more widely on the concept of ethical events.
Mm. Mm. So, yeah. Tell us about the forum.
So, the forum will be held a few days before the Live Golf tournament kicks off in Adelaide. And what we're hoping to do is to really understand from a number of perspectives the impact of ethics when it comes to festivals, events and major tourism. And to understand it in the context not just of this particular event, but for future events. So, for example, we want to know more about if we're going to be holding events in South Australia, how do we know that that money is being returned to South Australians? And how do we know that the South Australians who are participating in that, for instance, you know, working in the bars, are getting the kind of employment opportunities that we think makes this kind of economic strategy worthwhile? But the other things we're looking at are things like, if we're going to have events here in the future, how do we know if we're getting the right kind of events? How do we make sure that the things that are coming in are the things that South Australians want and that are really in line with the values of us as a community?
Mm-hmm. So for them to be doing this, it must be lucrative.
Well, someone's making money from it, but we're not sure exactly who.
We know that golfers are making an absolutely obscene amount of money from
golfers
this. Golfers, yeah. I don't know who else is making money from it.
Well, we can't seem to get information about, you know, it'll create jobs, it'll boost tourism. Fine, then tell us. Who's getting the jobs? Which sectors? Are they low-paying jobs? Are they precarious jobs? Is the money staying in South Australia? What benefits will ordinary South Australians see? We can't get information about that. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to me that this is another part of government, that it should be transparent and accountable. And it just, this commercial and confidence clause seems to put everything in a black box and we don't get to see it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, I mean, when we look at things like the Velo 500 that happened here last year and is happening here again, you know, we hear about how much time, effort, energy and money our government has put into that. And we hear these really big numbers, like, you know, it's brought back $57 million to the state economy and things like that. But, you know, one of the things, if we're investing our time into these tourism opportunities, are we then not investing our time into economic opportunities that can provide people with more stable, secure and better paid jobs?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know information about that, and I want to open up some of those questions to know whether this is worth doing. So if we're doing this, we're missing out on other opportunities that might actually be better for the state.
Yeah, and we need to drill down on even those figures that they talk about because, for example, if the money's going to an internationally based hotel chain, that's not really money into our state. So there's all sorts of questions like that about those figures that get flying around. So, yeah, and as I say, because we don't have this Finance and Budget Committee until May, we can't even ask those initial questions about this particular project.
Is that by design?
No, I couldn't say. I don't want to say, but I was told it was originally going to be late March, and now I'm told it's going to be May, so I don't know why that is. Yeah.
One of the things I was just thinking was, you know, when we talk about the motorsport, for example, I think this is a really important one to talk about whilst we're sitting here at Christie's Walk, because that is absolutely talking about visually showing and celebrating an industry and a style of racing that still uses the kind of fuels that many people in this world are now starting to challenge. And it puts on a global stage a way of running car races that doesn't necessarily have to be. So a really relevant question that has come up is, well, why are we doing that? Why are we not doing, say, electric car racing? And I think these are the questions we should be having. And, you know, one of the things that was really interesting for me when that was happening was that I was talking to some friends of mine who live out in Hacken, and all of the guys were sitting around talking and saying that, you know, they don't collect big cars anymore. They all are driving around in little Suzukis because what they want is environmentally efficient cars, and they want small cars. And if we're going to race something, then race something environmentally friendly. Mm.
That's
right.
Really,
we've got the Darwin
point.
Well, we used to have the Darwin to Adelaide solar car race, didn't we?
Mm.
I don't know if they still have that, but that attracted a lot of interest, helped develop the technology, had all of those positives. So we don't need to develop technology to go 200 kilometres an hour in fossil fuels, do we? I mean, really?
So is this just a starting point for something bigger? Do you think that you'll expand on this? Because it's a really good point. They're really good. The ethics of
We hope so. So one of the goals for the forum, in fact, the main goal is to create a framework, a starting point for what does an ethical festival or ethical event look like. And so we are going to have the opportunity for people to contribute to what headings there should be in the framework, start fleshing out what could be under those headings. And we're really hoping, we're planning at the end of the forum to prepare a document that is a starting point that we can present to the tourist bodies, present to government agencies, ministers, the Premier, and say, this is what, you know, the people at the forum thought would be a great way to start and have ethical events. And then start distributing that ideas, working on it. But also what we're doing is we're starting to find a whole lot of articles. Jane in particular has been doing a lot of research. Already she's found a couple of overseas examples where something similar but not quite as, I guess, ambitious as our project has started to happen. So we like the idea of disseminating information about those ideas, those articles, those frameworks. So our website includes a section where we're slowly but surely adding information so that people can learn more, so that if they want to have a look at some of the articles we've found and the ideas, they can research it that way. And hopefully people pick up the idea and run with it. We don't quite know where our weekly coffee meetings are going to lead, but already we're really happy with the way it's... Because it started off very small. It started off with a couple of us being very concerned about the ethics of our state, our festival state, signing up to this golf tournament. And we just started very slowly thinking, well, we could go at the front and protest, or we could maybe think strategically perhaps a little bit wider and not just focusing on this event, but looking at the concept of festivals and events, which, you know, as a bigger picture. And then the idea moved on to, and then what's the take home? We don't want people just sitting there getting angry, feeling upset, and walking away and not feeling like we've moved forward. So that was the idea about the framework, so that as people get up and leave, they'll say, well, okay, we've started something here. We've actually done an initial original document that we're going to send out into the universe and see where it leads.
I think it sounds really necessary. Just two quick questions. Is it going to be repeated? Is it something that might happen every year? And the other one is, it's all blokes, I'm assuming, playing golf.
Oh, you mean, is the golf tournament going to be repeated? Oh, I don't know. Do we know?
I don't know.
I hope not.
Well, I know they've got funding.
But it is blokes.
There's funding for either 3 or 5 years, but I'm not sure whether it's coming back here or not. Sorry, I thought you meant was air. But we have got some ideas for ongoing forums.
So, just off the top of your head, what would you see as an ethical event for golf? How would you, if you were going to have a golf tournament?
Okay. Well, firstly, a sponsor that isn't an active abuser of human rights, but then also thinking more broadly about what's the status of the supply chains? Do they treat their labour well? Do they promote women's employment issues properly? Do they have proactive disability policies? Mm. So in what ways can this environment be run in a way that minimises or even helps our environment? Mm. So there are a range of things we could think about. And that's why we want people at the forum to give us these ideas from their sectors about, actually, what would it look like for your sector? What would you want to see?
So you want active participation in decision-making as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And from a range of perspectives. So we look at it from our own perspectives and you know, we come from, say, an activist position or a legal position. But what I want to know is, how do we do this from an economic development perspective? Because I think that there are some great opportunities from an economic development perspective, and I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
And you know, there are other areas too. There's one thing I was just thinking that I really want to make sure that is said in this conversation, because you know, the work that we are doing on this event and the words that we are putting out, even having this conversation now, we could not be doing in Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
And I think it's really important to know that. And it's not just that we couldn't be doing it in Saudi Arabia. There is a legitimate question about, if we were to now visit Saudi Arabia, as women who have been saying this in a public place, is there a chance that we could be imprisoned for doing so?
Mm.
And that is not something that's happened in the past. That is something that's happening right now. And there are active examples of where women have been saying the same things, or not even as explicit as us, and who are now serving prison sentences in Saudi Arabia that are 45 years long. So this isn't something that's historic. This isn't about what might have happened in Saudi Arabia in the past. This is about what's happening in Saudi Arabia right now.
Mm. And I agree. I've had two letters published in the Advertiser, which both are critical of that regime. And I have absolutely no doubt that if I did visit, there would be repercussions. I've no doubt about that. And I'm not being paranoid,
isn't it?
I'm not.
We're sitting
paranoid.
Here safely talking about something.
That's right. That's extraordinarily important, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's,
thank you so much
yeah.
for what you do. That's it's really important.
Well, thank you
thank
for
you.
Thank
you
for listening and inviting us to
mm.
talk with you today.
Thank you.